Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet, and you are watching Shooting. I don't curse, so Shooting Poop. Yeah.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to Shooting Poop.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we seem like we're slightly not fully here tonight, it's because Chiefs are playing.
Nobody cares about that shit.
Broncos. Man. I care because of the degenerate gambler. I have money on the game.
Okay.
But yeah. The Phillies are also playing. So Joey K up there is ready to find out if he needs to climb poles tonight after he gets done here or if he goes to sleep. So he's locked into that game too.
Locked in.
Locked and loaded, gentlemen. That's what we're going
to
do.
It just
tonight.
Happens to be what I'm watching too. And I'm showing Chicago is showing Philly love. Just what, you know, pointing it out.
I have it on too. So,
well, I'm happy the three of you guys are enjoying some good baseball. My team is already advanced, so I can't watch them tonight. We got Houston next. So, fuck it. The Battle of Texas for the ALCS.
That's going to be crazy.
That'll be the end of that fucking run right there, buddy.
I don't know. I honestly thought we were going to end at the Blue Jays. I didn't see us getting past Toronto.
They're
going to
fold
us
like the Cowboys did last weekend in San
Francisco. They didn't lose to Toronto. They beat Tampa Bay.
They haven't lost anything yet in the playoffs. They've gone undefeated so far. So
you and Captain Literal, let's go.
Excuse me, because the Cubs aren't in it. Fuck. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight. We're going to talk some DDJ's Cubs shirt because he had to pay off his bet, but he didn't really pay it off. Sean, how does that make you feel?
Like he's paying it off with food stamps.
And that's how you open. Want to try shooting shit coming off of a hot take on food stamps, man. If you're in the greater Detroit area,
I'll give you props on that one, Sean. That was a good one.
If you want to sell some food stamps in the greater Detroit area, hit me up because shit, I'll definitely take it.
How are you going to be able to pay?
I ain't got no money, dog, but you can take my link card and get all the steaks you want.
How are you going to be able to pay for the food stamps if you're spending all your money on degenerate gambling?
That's why I need the food stamps, so I can still eat after losing like I do tonight. Jesus. Some bad bets tonight, gentlemen. Some bad bets tonight. Who knew Denver's defense would show up? But neither here or there for tonight. At least I'm with the majority last week. I mean, hell, Dallas was my only loss. Philly won.
You like how he glossed over that so quick? Like Dallas?
He did, yeah.
I've gotten shit from y'all all week. I'm not going to take any more tonight.
I argued with you over that pick. And not even for the fact that it was like, oh, my God, fuck Dallas. Because, like, that's how I feel. But truly, truly and honestly, like, how did anyone go, like, unless you're a fucking diehard Cowboys fan, this makes sense. The Cowboys are really going to take it to San Fran. And then they got their dick stomped in the fucking dirt for 60 minutes. It was fucking ugly.
The best part of that was the 7-minute Brock Purdy diatribe about how he needs to come down to earth because he's not a quarterback in the NFL or something.
So I'm just going to say it right now. I'm hoping for a Rangers Phillies World Series because the back and forth between you two during football season is classic enough. Throw a little World Series in on it, it's just going to make for some all time like.
It'll be ugly, dude.
You can hope in one hand and piss in the other, food stamps, because that's not happening. The Rangers ain't getting past the Astros.
Man. But here's the thing, though. Going into the Astros series, and I swear we'll get into wrestling in a minute, guys. Going into the Astros series, we're getting Gray back and we're getting Scherzer back activated. Our whole issue is the Rangers, when that offense is on, they're on. But we're always been scared about our pitching. Most of the time it's scared about the bullpen. But I feel like with Gray coming back and Scherzer coming back, we may have a shot because we do really well against Houston. So I'm not going to say we're going to beat Houston because, quite honestly, I didn't think we'd get as far as we have right now.
Three more outs, but Joe.
It's going to be good. I'm up for it. And the Phillies, I mean, hats off to them because they're the fucking Phillies.
They're playing their asses off, man. You got to give them credit. Atlanta is not a sleeper team. They're a tough team to beat. So
yeah. It's a hard out, and Phillies, they're fighting.
And all you Dodger fans out there.
Oh, suck it, dude.
It's all crazy. Dodger fans suck it. It's crazy that, after tonight, we're only going to have one division-winning team left in the MLB playoff. Everybody else was a wild card.
It was so bad. If I go, I have tickets to Collision. If I go to Collision on Saturday, they told us already, hey, we're going to have to put it early because of, the playoff game. And then Arizona did what they did, and they moved it back to fucking 7 o'clock. So.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It worked out, man. It worked out.
I like that hat, brother. That's nice.
It's a pimp hat, dude. Every time I go out, the bitches love the hat.
Yeah. I bet they do, man.
They do, man. It gets a lot of, it gets a lot of play. I appreciate you.
Man, a lot of dudes trying to pick you up wearing that hat, bud.
You're funny.
All right, man. Let's go.
Funny guy. A lot of dudes trying to pick me up on this hat. It's a funny guy. Okay. You know what wasn't funny, though, gentlemen? Tuesday Night Wars. AEW and WWE had a good old-fashioned dick-swinging contest, which apparently me and Joey K will do if our teams make it to the World Series. But
that's a lot of meat.
It's a lot of meat, baby. Big
meat slapping meat.
Meat slapping meat. Gotta love it.
Man, that might have to be on a Patreon or something.
You can't handle it, short legs. You can't handle it.
We're selling it by the pound, baby. What's up?
Wow.
Oh,
bitch, I'll take your food stamps. What's up? Let's go.
Anyways, guys. Title Tuesday versus NXT Supermax because they wanted to really shove it down Tony Khan's throat on his birthday, which he probably likes. What did you guys think? Anything really stand out, allegedly, from the big night of Tuesday Night Wrestling?
Here's the thing. I watched Dynamite. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the Edge match at the end. Thought it was a decent show. It wasn't a great show. It was a decent show. Be completely honest, I kind of feel like I fucked up by not watching NXT.
Wow.
Because I would have loved to caught The Undertaker live and seen that happen.
And for me, normally back when they were doing this every week before NXT moved to Tuesdays and they were doing Dynamite versus NXT on Wednesdays, I would always watch Dynamite live and then go back and watch NXT on my DVR. This time I actually watched NXT live and then went back and watched Dynamite on my DVR. And I'm so glad I did because it felt like NXT put on a better show overall, I think. And yes, it had something to do with, bringing Cena and Taker and LA Knight and Asuka and everything for, but it's not like the WWE guys overshadowed the NXT guys. I think every single NXT, WWE guy that was on the show, other than LA Knight, who was just basically a referee, gave some sort of rub to one of the NXT guys. I mean, you have Asuka paying respect to Roxanne Perez after their match. You had, Carmelo Hayes had the rub with The Undertaker, and even Bron Breakker in getting chokeslammed by The Undertaker had that rub, and then Carmelo Hayes getting the love from John Cena as well, too. And I mean, I think that the WWE talents were used exactly the way they needed to be used on NXT, and I think that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed NXT as much as I did on Tuesday.
Jody?
I watched bits and pieces, mid. All kinds of fucking mid. NXT, mid. AEW, for sure fucking mid. Ugh, where do I start?
In the middle, man. Start in the middle.
Yeah, why not?
You know, okay, I'll start right in the fucking middle of Dynamite. Now let's fucking talk about it. The MJF Juice Robinson deal.
Rock hard.
And, man.
Does anybody else think Juice Robinson sounds like a pissed off teenager?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cuts a promo. For sure.
That needs to be on ADD meds.
So here's the thing, and this whole thing proves a point of why I fucking hate AEW fans. Because y'all some dumb motherfuckers. You're some fucking dumb. Absolute fucking morons.
Morons.
You know, you're going to sit there and claim to be fucking, oh, I'm an AEW fan, I'm an AEW fan. Well, that's cool. And you think you're better than WWE fans because, you know, you go, oh, you know, people who watch WWE only care about, that's the only thing they care about. They don't look at anything else outside of WWE, blah, blah, blah. Well, neither do AEW fans. And you guys fucking proved it. Has anybody not fucking noticed Juice doing the whole fucking quarter thing for the past, I don't know, 4 fucking years since he went to fucking New Japan?
Yeah,
like, it's been his thing. It's been his deal. That's one. Number two. They're tying it in with the fucking MJF stand up to fucking hate deal.
Yeah.
Number three, you think MJF being the fucking champ does have some pull in that company. You think he's going to fucking go, you know, I don't like it, but I guess we'll do it. No, he's going to have full fucking control over how that part went. That's just the truth. Is there bad timing because of the current state of the world? Yeah, probably. But if we've learned anything, that business doesn't stop for fucking war. Business doesn't stop for any of that shit. It keeps on going. There's money to be made. There's things that are happening in place because of that entire segment. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep going. Look, is it in the best taste? No, I don't think it is. Considering current climate, but do I also think it's like this horrible fucking terrible thing that people are just so up in arms about? No, it just proves that you don't fucking pay attention to the people that you claim to love and think are so much better than WWE superstars or anybody else, any other fucking promotion out there that has, you know, any top tier talent. Fucking pay more attention to the people that you have on this roster. Mm-hmm. That's what bothered me the most out of that whole thing. So there, that's right in the fucking middle. And the other shit, I don't fucking care. NXT, they could fucking wheel out fucking Bruno's fucking corpse at this point, and I'm still not going to tune in and watch it. I don't give a flying fuck. Like, you could shower that entire episode with just like strippers and porn stars. Just fucking plates full of coke and like fucking Phillies winning a World Series and the Eagles winning a Super Bowl, and I still wouldn't fucking tune in because it's NXT.
Well, you had me at hookers and coke.
You had me at the porn.
Yeah, that, and you say it so fucking creepy.
It was the porn for me.
You had me at porn. I bet we did, dude. Ugh. Good God, Buffalo Bill, calm the fuck down.
It puts their ocean thing, on your skin.
When I saw that was on the list for topics, I really didn't give a flying fuck because, honestly, to me, both shows were mid. Oh boy, Edge gets his first match. Edge went all the way to AEW to go have a match against Luchasaurus. Watch the first 5 minutes of that match. That was worse than anything I could have imagined that was on NXT. For real. Because we know how I feel about NXT and their dog shit product. So, cool. Yay, nostalgia. Woo. I don't fucking care anymore. two mid shows on a Tuesday because I'm too busy getting the Phillies.
Joe, on a Wednesday. Hey man, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
Right. Jesus.
I feel like you're keeping it in a little. Let it out, man.
Let it go.
He's got the pickle juice in there tonight, gentlemen. He's ready to roll. He's all hopped up on piss and vinegar tonight.
What about you, Jovan? What do you have to say about Tuesday?
Well, let me talk to you. I'm going to keep it nice and sweet.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, NXT to me did put on the better show. AEW to me, it's just booking issues, man. I don't get the Penta title drop. The Phoenix title drop. I don't get a couple of things that AEW did right. I don't fully agree with, but NXT with the mix of nostalgia and the mix of current and future to me had the better show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys already know I'm a mark for Roxanne Perez. She put on a great show with Asuka. I like what they're doing with Braun. I feel like Breaker is going to come up pretty soon, right? That call-up is coming, and they're starting to plant seeds.
Mello too.
But, I mean, specifically with Breaker and maybe even Ava Rain, the seeds are there, man. I love everything Paul Heyman does.
I'm glad you brought up the Ava Rain segment with Paul Heyman because I freaking love that because that's planting the seeds for the rumored Rock versus Roman match at Mania. And now with the fact that it sounds like that the writer's strike is not going to be over with, you know, it's going to make it's even more likely, you know, that we will probably get Rock versus Roman at Mania.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just to me, NXT did more to further the storylines. It gave a great wrestling product. Anytime that, you know, I'm a big Mello fan, he's great. Right now, he is the future in my eyes. So we'll see what happens with everything going forward. AEW, they tried, you know, 30 minutes uninterrupted at the beginning. They had a great women's contest with Sheeta and Saraya. I'm gonna say that was like the highlight of the episode for me. But other than that, they really didn't deliver on much. I did not like Edge's match. Sorry, fanboys out there. It was terrible, dude. I don't want to see Edge fucking get tossed around by Luchasaurus like that. But all in all, I think that NXT did what it's supposed to do. It furthered a lot of the storyline, and it gives you a reason to want to come back. AEW was just another week of what they do every week. So that's why it won to me.
Just but, with Tony Khan being a bigger dickhead on Twitter or X. Like, anybody gonna notice that?
So yeah, they said that the PR team does not approve his tweets when they go out. I did read that earlier. So he's just willy nilly in it, like good old 45 used to.
Unreal, man. Somebody needs.
Just for the record, I did not say that.
Somebody needs to take that child's phone away from him before. Before he gets himself in some trouble.
Which one are we talking about?
Allegedly. Tony Khan.
Oh, okay.
Gentlemen, yeah. That gives us into our shooter's question of the week. Formerly known as the Stern Shoot question of the week. We need to do a new graphic soon. Shooter's question comes from, of course, our online Facebook page. If you're not there, please join us now at facebook.com/group/shootandshit. Be great if you can just join on the show page. Let us know what you want to know, what you want to talk about, what we want to talk about. It's great, man. We got a lot of good interaction. So we love the people on the page, and we especially love the people who gave us the question this week. DDJ, what is the question?
The question of the week comes from it was originally brought up by our buddy Shane from Such Good Shoot, and then Isaac also kind of said the same thing. And excuse me. Question that we're going to talk about here is, in today's day and age, what is more important to a top level wrestling show, ring work or promos/angles?
Kurt Angles.
No, which by Let's the way,
fucking go.
Yep. They,
30, woo!
30, that was, just, that wasn't me, Sean.
30 fucking seconds, bro. I just said,
dude, what did you expect from me, man? The fucking fills are going back.
A little fucking restraint, man. You can't keep it kayfabe for fucking 30 seconds.
Woo! Spoiler alert. But Wait a minute. Okay, Jovan, what were... Okay, I got sidetracked by Joey K's little outburst, so...
What? Come on, ADD. You were talking about the question of the week, man, coming from our boys that shoot such good shit, where they were talking about what is more important in a pro wrestling show? Is it the actual mat work, the in and out between the ropes, or the storylines and the promos that keep you coming back? Which is more important when you're watching a top-tier show? Who wants to hit it?
I'll go. For me, it's something that... Give me a sec here.
Yeah. There it is.
Sorry about that.
Hairball.
Yeah, it's...
Top it up. It's mine anyway.
But now going back to the question, you know, it's something I've been kind of going back and forth on, but, and my answer is basically this. I feel like for me, I'll take the in-ring action or in-ring work a little bit more of a higher priority over the storylines and promos, because that's always what's really kind of attracted me to the world of professional wrestling, is the athleticism and what we see these men and women do in the ring. But it's not by much, because while I value, you know, I look at, or I prioritize the in-ring work a little bit higher than the stories and promos and stuff, but you really can't have one without the other, because to me, you can have you know, and I think AEW right now is a perfect example, because it seems like they're putting more of an emphasis just on the in-ring work than the majority of their angles, because they're either hot-shotting them, and, you know, the very few that they're kind of slow burning, you know, with like Adam Cole and MJF, which I think we all still think that ankle injury is a work.
Well, it's 4 months of ankle injury if it's not.
Yeah, and he's putting off his surgery now for, what, 3 weeks or something? But to me, I just, like I said, I prefer the action, because, I mean, you can tell, you can try and tell a story in the ring, but if you don't have the athleticism or the right talent to tell that story is going to fall flat on its ass, or, you know, go plop face first into, you know, a pile of shit and stuff. And I feel like you need that in-ring action to kind of help illustrate the story, because you need that in-ring action that's going to give the commentators stuff to say, because the commentators are the ones that are basically telling the story to the people that are watching it on TV. You know, they're telling what's going on. They're giving background, all that stuff. And really, if they don't have anything to call in that ring, then they're just sitting there and, you know, twiddling their thumbs or, you know, whatever. So for me, it's the in-ring action, but it's not by much.
Mr. Wolf, do you mind going next?
This is a tough one for me, man, because I'm obviously, the one complaint I have about AEW is storyline, and I don't feel that there's a lot of great mic work that goes on there. Even your guys like MJF and a couple of the other guys who are really good on the mic don't consistently do it every time out. So one thing I'll always say about AEW is the storylines are shit, but at least the matches are good. So the one thing I think you can, I guess I'll say it this way. You can have great matches and have shoddy storylines and shoddy promos. You can be a great in-ring worker, have great matches and entertain people at shows without great storylines and great promos, but you can't have great promos and great storylines and not be able to work. Yeah. So in my opinion, ring work is way more important. And I say that knowing that some of the best wrestlers that have ever been in this business, guys like Dean Malenko and Shelton Benjamin and Steve Blackman and these guys that are very well respected as far as like in-ring workers and trainers. Like these guys have helped train and move guys up.
Yeah, exactly.
These guys that are great in-ring workers, but weren't, that never actually, you know, they were all respected and put in positions to make upper echelon talent look so much better. I'll even go one further. Steve Regal.
William Regal, yeah. That's a great William Regal one.
Is a great example of a great in-ring worker who it took years and years and years for him to be comfortable enough to be on the mic and put talent over as, you know, even later in this, it was late in his career in WWE. And that was simply because when he got there, somebody took him aside and worked with him on it. Because if one thing the WWE is, you know, NXT is like wrestling for college. You know what I mean? It's like college. It's these indie talents get signed. They go there. They're grabbing these kids. Now, some of them like Thea Hale's like 18, right?
19. Yeah.
So 19.
Whatever, yeah. You know, right out of college or high school, getting signed and coming in. They're bringing these kids in and they're going 4 years in NXT, which is basically wrestling college.
They're
teaching promo. They're teaching storyline. They're teaching structure. They're teaching, you know, even where to be at when the camera's certain positions and everything. Yep. Like if you watch the clip, for example, if you watch the little segment that The Undertaker and Ron Breaker took part in, after Taker grabbed him in the choke slam and let out his first holler, you can literally see him say, "Turn with me." So Braun could be turned into the position where they were sideways so they could get a better view of the choke slam and the height that it was going to be. And just as he went to throw him up, he said, "Oh," and the kid jumped. So, I mean, they're taking him to school down there. And I want to take solid ring work over crappy promo or, you know, a storyline that's shaky every single time, because you can have all the production in the world, but if you can't work.
Yep. And see, and when I really liked what Silver Wolf had to say there, and I agree with him 100% and stuff. And see, that's why I think this move for Jade Cargill going to, you know, the WWE, and hopefully she gets some time in NXT before she goes on the main roster, because what he said, like, you know, what he said, what The Undertaker did with Braun Breaker, you know, turn with me up, you know, and stuff like that. That's only going to do, that's going to do nothing but just benefit Jade as she, you know, it, you know, grows within the business.
And that, and not to cut you off, but that's if she's willing.
Yeah. Agreed. I will give you that. Yes. I will agree with you there.
I don't get me wrong. I don't know how she is in real life. Like, I don't know her as a person or as an athlete, but there's an air about that girl. There is an air about her that I'm a great athlete. There's nothing I can't do. So if she's open to being taught, and she shows improvement, I will give her all the respect in the world. Right now, to me, she's Luger in red, white, and blue tights. Getting ready to jump on the bus, and let's see what happens. Because when it's all said and done, I think after a few years, you're going to see the best Jade Cargill in AEW after she finishes her little stint in WWE and she gets back there. Because I feel like it's going to take her another 3 years to get comfortable. WWE is the grind. It's the highest level.
I like that.
It's the highest level. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like one of my favorite Steve Austin quotes is, if you're going to come to WWE, you better be able to work. Mm-hmm. And guys like Booker T, like, I think that's who he was making the comment about. If Booker T could work his ass off, that's why he got over in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joey, you want to go?
Yeah. So, there's two answers I have. Number one is, it depends on who you want to work for is what's most important.
Such a good answer.
That's a good answer. That's a really good fucking answer, bro. Yeah.
That's the first answer I came up with, was like,
it's a good one. Yeah.
You can be really great on a mic somewhere and still be dog shit in the ring, but they're going to love you and you're going to sell some t-shirts. Or you could be fucking absolutely out of this world, you know, getting the holy shit chance and all that good stuff, but then, you know, stumble over your words constantly, to where you probably have to be partnered up with somebody else who can speak for you. Like, you know, but that was my first answer. And then
when you say that, you know who automatically comes to mind for me? Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who has everything. He's got the look. I feel like he's a good in-ring worker. He's got great heat. He fucking chokes
There's nothing believable in his promos.
None.
As hard as he pushes and tries, there's nothing believable about it. And that's 100% it. But then I started to think, as far as and this actually made this decision a little bit easier, is I agree with Sean where it's, I think more important is your in-ring work. You can work on, you know, depending, and a lot of it depends on what kind of character you are. You know, maybe you're not suited for that heel spot and you're really a baby face and you're fighting between it. And there's a lot of X factors in that. But in-ring work is in-ring work. And what made me think that is, think of the guys that have the language barrier in the U.S. Think of Shinsuke Nakamura. Everybody knows he can fucking work his ass off. He's amazing. Yep. He's great. But there's a language barrier.
Yep. Asuka. Io Shirai.
Yep. And you can go down the list. You know, it's... So to me, it's like, and these are all talented people that just work their fucking asses off, and they're still super over because of that.
And all three of those people are gods in Japan, bro.
Yep,
correct. Gods. And
especially Nakamura.
Yeah.
So to me, I look at it as that in-ring work is definitely the priority. And what you said about Regal too was really good, because in all honesty, the greatest fucking promo, in my opinion, was his promo against fucking Claudio Cesaro in WWE.
Like, great fucking promo.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
I'll watch that on YouTube. I'm ready to run through a fucking wall. Like, let's go. That's some fucking awesome shit to listen to.
Not to cut you off, but I think the reason why that thing was so great, because it wasn't the character.
No,
that was him.
It was him.
Mm-hmm. That it was all him. And dude, when you tap into, it's why everybody loved Austin. It's why everybody loved The Rock. It's why, you know, even MJF to an extent. Like, we all know that guy's a dick.
Oh, yes.
It's just they tap into that something that either they've turned into that thing, or they was that thing to begin with, and they're just expounding on it. And that's the best. That's the best shit, man.
Also, like what Sean said is that it's real. Like, they're real, and that's why guys like, you know, Mance Warner and because they're just real, and Eddie Kingston, they're just real guys. You know, like a lot of people can identify with them, and I think that's why that, you know, the guys like those two are so popular. I mean, Sean and I especially, but we're all Mance Warner fans, but Sean and I are especially really big fans of Mance Warner. So
it's what you just said about theory. It's that level of believability. So, and you can really start to break it down when you look at like Austin. Austin said it best. Tell me somebody who doesn't want to kick their boss's ass. Like, you know, I'm underpaid, underappreciated around here. Fuck this place. I'm taking it over. You know, there's that. Look at The Rock. Every fucking person wants to be as cool as the fucking Rock was in 1999. Right? Like, come on. Like, he was so fucking over. Everybody wanted to fucking talk like him, like dress like him, like all that shit. There's that believability there. Yeah. Like,
he's inspired like a generation of wrestlers that are coming up now. We're all trying to do the Rock thing.
And some of them are successful. I mean, look at Ricky Starks. I mean, Ricky Starks is kind of pulling that off
a little bit. He's a little rocky.
Definitely, like, you know, pulling it off. Like, they're pulling these aspects and elements of it, but there's always that believability in that. When you get somebody you just can't believe in, or you don't see anything like, oh, I can relate to that, or I see something of my own personality or self in that, that's where it's just like, I don't give a fuck what you do, man. You gotta change some shit. Like, you could be the best in-ring talent possible, but you're not going anywhere. Yeah, nobody's going to give a shit.
And I know this is going to like cause you guys to be like, oh, fuck. But to me, the best example of what we're talking about right now is Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Eddie Kingston is Isn't that not? And we didn't plan that.
He's got a stack of autographs. Just to randomly pull one out whenever.
We did not talk about that before the show. Just
no. Eddie Kingston will be part of our charity sale that's going to go benefiting Project Fat Man. And you know, I thought, what a better person to lead it off with than Eddie Kingston, since we're talking about promos. So,
well, and that was kind of what I was getting ready to say, is Eddie Kingston's a great mic guy. Just a great, great mic guy. He's not a five-star Daniel Bryan, Kenny Omega type of wrestler, man. He's a more Jerry Lawler than he is anything. He's a brawler. Is his suplex tight? Yeah. Can he throw a chop? Yeah. But is he a solid worker? Like a what you call a mechanic? No. No, he's not.
You can even go back
there, Bubba.
He just needs to be in Japan in 1993.
He needs to be king's robe, and you can even go further back with, you know, like you mentioned Eddie Kingston. You can even go further back to the 80s with Sean's guy Dusty Rhodes.
Dude, Dusty was a worker, bro. Yeah.
But I mean, was he as technically sound as guys like Flair and Tully? And
that fat son of a bitch went an hour.
I'm not denying that. Go back
and watch those matches. Dusty Rhodes could have had a match with a fucking broom and sold the arena out, brother. I don't care. Dusty Rhodes could work.
And ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to my point. Guys such as Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, guys such as Eddie Kingston, these guys that pull you in with the power of the promo, that make you believe that they're fighting for something more than just themselves. Hell, Dusty had a whole country living hard times with him. So when it gets down to it, to me, that, in my opinion, is bigger than the ring work. Okay? Because when you have it to where you have everybody holding their hand out to a television just to be with you for that one moment in time, and I guarantee you there's people that did it, and in their minds, they're touching fucking Dusty Rhodes. They are a part of the American Dream right then and there. It doesn't matter what the ring work looked like. It doesn't matter. Hey, brother, it doesn't matter what the ring work looked like. If you loved it, you didn't love it, you were there for one reason. Because for that split moment in time, Dusty Rhodes spoke to you. He wasn't talking to somebody, you know, else out there. He wasn't doing, no. At that split moment in time, he was talking directly to you. And that's what made you love the character. That's what brought you in. So for me, that's what I love about it. I love the parts where you're able to separate from the world, and this is what you're zoning in on. And what does that to me is a good story. There's been a lot of great talkers who can also wrestle really well, but the strength is always their mic skills. MJF is another good one who can pull you in. You want heat on him so bad, and now you want to cheer him for the stupidest shit, such as a kangaroo kick.
Right.
Because double clothesline.
Double clothesline, because of how over he'll put it down in his freaking promo. You're wanting to see the basics, because he's making you believe that the basics is big.
No, he's not as basic as you can get.
I know. Dude, I know. It's in no way, shape, or form should a double clothesline be a freaking finishing move, but he's made it. And it's those kind of guys I get lost into. The pageantry, I get lost into the stories. And I'm going to throw this out there, even though, you know, love it or hate it, the air of mysticism that's over Roman Reigns right now as being the tribal chief, to me, the storyline, everything he does with the promo work outshines anything he's done in the ring since he's become champion.
Well, that's not going to really take much to do, seeing as he's only wrestled like a handful of times in the last couple of years.
Well, I get it, but the man's no bum in the ring, is what I'm saying.
No, he's not.
But the promo work and everything that surrounds him takes it to that next tier.
How much of that though is not Roman? How much more of that is Paul Heyman than it is Roman Reigns?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Paul Heyman, because it's he didn't have it until Paul got there. But yeah, I agree with you.
It's building the story. It doesn't have to be him doing it. It's the story that's being built. That's what I'm saying.
Paul Heyman had a whole company that were cutting promos like that couldn't wrestle for shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on ECW, man. I was right there, right along with it.
Oh, me too.
I mean, there was a hand, there was a handful of workers in there.
Yeah.
But everybody could cut promos because they fucking went over and over and over and over until they got it right.
So if you are one who enjoys the promos, or if you enjoy great mat work, best part about it is wrestling gives you both. You can find one place that gives you one and the other place that gives you the other, or you can find someone that can mix together real well. All we're saying is watch what you like, guys.
Honestly. That's why there. That's why it's what's great about professional wrestling is there's literally something out there for everybody.
Exactly. And if you like great mat workers, you might like this here. That is William Ospreay and the Switchblade Jay White will also be on sale during our charity event.
Every time I see a picture or hear someone talk about Will Ospreay, I think about him telling us a story of him being drunk on the Jericho cruise.
God, he's such a cool guy, man. I different level of respect when we got to talk to Will Ospreay. Yeah. That dude is just phenomenal.
Top notch.
I'll be seeing him live in 2 weeks.
Yes.
That's very nice for you.
Will that be your first time seeing him wrestle live?
Yes, sir, it will.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I would have loved to gone, but it sounded like it was a bromance trip that was set for two. So
there'll be three of us there. Ty will be there too.
Yeah, but are you guys all three sitting together? Or
I don't know. Me and Pat got general admission. I don't know what Ty.
You probably got ringside. You booted me for
Ty?
I didn't boot you at all. You wasn't even a thought until you said, "Hey, are you going?" I'd already had my tickets for a month. I'm only a few hours
away. Like I was like, "Hey, you guys call me up whenever there's some good shows. We could hit them together."
Dude, we're going to a show tomorrow night.
Now, yeah, you guys are going to a show tomorrow night. What?
Yeah. Now we're going to go see CSW.
I appreciate the call on that one, too.
Going to meet Gangrel.
You see what happened, Joey K? I moved closer so I could try to go to some things with these bums, and they're cutting me out.
Hey, Sean, didn't we invite him to go with us to the AAW show?
We did.
Hey, dude, I had to pay to become a freaking legit Michiganian, so I had no money. Oh. I was broke. You guys aren't going to be able to get my big ass to Chicago. So,
all right,
that's okay. That's okay. Now that I'm,
I hear a lot of this, and all I'm hearing is excuse, more
sure-footed. I guess that's okay. I'll just, you know what I'm going to do, Joey K. I'm going to look at the Chicago wrestling scene, and whenever there's a match that I'm like, oh, that might be cool that my friends will go to, I might just buy a ticket in case they want to go. I'll see them there or not. I'll just be like, oh, hey, guys. You know, like that random dude that nobody wants to fucking talk to while DDJ wears a fucking cup shirt that he drew himself. Looking like a fifth grader. And yet I'm the one they don't want to be around, right? The guy that the fucking crowd out there, you guys, the listeners, said I was the one that you would want to get a beer with. Well, these jerk-offs don't even want to watch a fucking show of me. No. What are we talking about next? I'm done. I'm done.
And you've been so humble since that happened. Too.
Oh. I get Sean, one.
I think we might want to send some cheese to Jovan for all that wine.
I get one fan and you guys change on me. I can't believe this.
Oh,
change on you.
Timeout. Flag on the play there. That is the biggest piece of horse crap I've ever heard on this show. You get one fan and we change? Nah, fuck you, man. You change. Fuck you, man.
Got him all worked up.
I did.
Got him all worked up. Man.
God damn you, Jovan. I fucking hate your guts right now. And just for that, I got three words for you. Fuck the Cowboys.
Well, you're going to hate on Dallas. We're going to talk about Dallas then. We're going to talk the Iron Claw, ladies and gentlemen. The Von Erichs Legacy movie coming out. They dropped a trailer and shit looks phenomenal.
Oh, man, dude.
So in a perfect world, we'd get to go watch that together.
Oh, yeah. In a perfect world, if we can figure out the logistics, I'm down.
Joey, perfect world.
Somehow. It's in December, right? Ain't it? Sometime in December.
December 22nd is the day it opens.
That's like right before Christmas, isn't it?
Right before Christmas. We'll have to wait.
Yeah, December 22nd is right before Christmas, buddy.
Merry Chrysler.
Santa's coming. DDJ, have you already sent your Christmas list to Santa?
Not yet. I'm working on it, though.
All right. I'm sure you already have all the wrestling t-shirts that you could ever need, but you might as well throw some on there.
You imagine how much they cringe when they see that big motherfucker coming to sit on their lap.
Hey, I went and saw Santa last year, and he got up and walked away just fine.
I bet he...
They call that motherfucker the Iron Lap.
At least you were gentle, buddy. That's the important.
I had to be. My son was there.
Oh, jeez.
He's so fucked up on
Ironclaw, ladies and gentlemen. The story about the Von Erichs. Starring Zac Efron. I think MJF is in it. Who else?
Yep,
who
he plays Lance Von Erich, yeah.
He plays
Jeremy Allen White, who plays he's on the show with the bear.
The bear.
Fucking Carly.
He plays Carrie Von Erich. He plays Carrie Von Erich. I only have one complaint.
Okay.
My problem with them casting actors as athletes is Jeremy Allen White is like 5'8".
Yeah.
And Carrie Von Erich was over 6 foot tall.
Monster man.
I'm pretty sure David was like 6'5". You know, and then the three guys that they got playing the Freebirds, they look like they're fucking male models. And anybody that's ever fucking seen pictures of the Freebirds know better than that shit. Buddy Roberts was known for never brushing his teeth. Michael Hayes was basically a hairy male whore.
So
did you see that?
It was the mug.
Come on, man. I'm making a point. Why are you always jumping on me?
You didn't even get the fucking Terry yet. Come on.
God damn, man.
God damn it.
Got that one picture of Michael Hayes where he's got no underwear on, his pants are unzipped, and he's holding a bottle of Jack Daniels. Even then, in his 20s, he didn't look as good as the guy playing him. The guy who's playing Terry Gordy is like 50 pounds lighter than Terry Gordy, and they're all bigger than the Von Erichs, the guys that are playing the Von Erichs, man. I mean, who booked this shit? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Zac Efron is Kevin Von Erich.
Hollywood, brother.
So a couple, I'm looking at the cast on IMDb. Chavo Guerrero Jr. is playing the Sheik.
Ugh.
And then Ryan Nemeth is playing Gino Hernandez.
Oh, oh, that could be good.
Actually, I like that.
I'm thrilled about that casting, to be honest with you.
Dude, Gino Hernandez, for those of y'all out there who don't know.
Oh, my God.
That's MJF before MJF, guys, is Gino Hernandez.
Oh, dude, nah, he was way better than MJF.
Well, he was way better, but he's like.
Gino was ahead of his time, man. He was so ahead of his time.
Basically Flair, dude.
He was like, I don't know what ethnicity he was, but.
He was Italian, and his stepfather, I believe, was Hispanic.
So he was a Italian Mexican Ric Flair, man.
Yeah,
you want to talk about one of the
whacked.
One of the biggest tragedies in the world of pro wrestling. Go watch the Dark Side of the Ring on Gino Hernandez.
Well, dude, all that the whole era there, world class, it wasn't just him, man.
It was the old West, buddy.
He died. Chris Adams died.
Bruiser Brody,
all the Von Erichs, but Brody really wasn't a Texas guy.
Yeah, you can't put the Brody on us. Okay. Man. That was something
he did get booked down there a lot.
Put that on us.
But you can't put, he wasn't a Texas guy, man. Those guys were like Gino and Chris was from England, but like once he came to the only territory
that's where he settled worked
was Texas for the longest time. And then he had a little short run in WCW, and by then he was picking up scraps, man. I mean, he was at the end of his. But just
think about Chris Adams' biggest contribution to the world of professional wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to know. Actually, that's not the biggest contribution he made to professional wrestling.
Oh.
The biggest contribution Chris Adams ever made to professional wrestling is the superkick.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
He used it. Shawn Michaels copied it. Now everybody fucking throws one.
Bastardized.
Not even a finisher anymore. That's
the Young Bucks have made a living off Chris fucking Adams.
And Mortis. But, you know, hey. Or Canyon, however way you like him. Gentlemen, here's a question for you. We've talked a little bit of the Iron Claw. And got me thinking. Shooting Shit the movie. Who's playing everybody?
Well, I'm just going to come right out and say I thought about what Sean said before because we discussed this a little bit before we started recording. And I think Sean, you know, had a good one for me, and I'm going to run with it. So got him and stuff. I don't know how many people out there watch the show Modern Family, But Eric's, if I had anyone, I'd go with Eric Stone Street from Modern Family to play me.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, DDJ, if I picked anybody to play you, it was going to be John Matuszek.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
I've been waiting since we started to do that one. I've been waiting this whole fucking time.
That was so good. God, you held. How'd you keep that in?
How did you hold it in, dude? Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here, I'll give you a golf clap.
Well, I have no idea who should play me, but I actually
think... got it. I got it. I think Fred Durst should play Fred Durst.
I am trying to make a point, and every time I open my mouth, you start flapping your gums. You in your food stamp shirt, sit there and be quiet. Gabriel Iglesias should play you, Jovan. That's who should play. Fluffy should play you, man. Everybody likes that guy.
He's Fluffy.
He's Fluffy. Probably 36% whatever the fuck you are. Because you claim to be 2% this and 48% that. And I think you're, in the time that I've been on the show, you're part Samoan, you're black, you're Puerto Rican, you're Jewish. I think you've had a little Swedish in you, if not on you. I don't know.
He's had Swedish in and on him.
So
well, I mean, it's crazy nights.
I think Fluffy would be a good. I think he'd make a good hot one.
You know, I like that one, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I've always said Fluffy beat me to the punch. Oh, really? We're going to play the baby mama up there.
No, that dude's going to play evil.
Oh, that's going to be. That's great typecasting there.
Yeah, that's baby mama. That's baby mama
fucking
right
killed
there.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, guys, I've got one for DJ.
We got to hear Joey K though.
Oh, that's true. We got to get one for Jody. Who's got a good one for Jody?
Oh, come on, man.
Peter Dinklage?
No. Peter
God.
The guy who plays Silent Bob.
No, would be great
for Joey.
No, Silent Bob is real skinny now because he had a heart attack.
I know he'd have to gain some weight, man.
He went straight.
He'd have to bulk up.
I know who would play. I have a good idea who would play me.
I would say Kevin James, but I think Kevin James is way too big to play.
Yeah,
that's a big dude. Fan.
It's not a good casting now.
I would go with Nick Frost from. Shaun of the Dead. And
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ready Player One. Was he?
That's a good
one. No, he wasn't in that. You're thinking of Simon Pegg.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you're
sorry.
Thinking
my
of Pegg. Frost is the friend.
Yeah, not even close. Simon Pegg. That's not even
close. Yo, I like Nick Frost. That's a good casting there.
Yeah, one Halloween, I was literally the Gottwood t-shirt. I had my hair and I just shaved the chunk of hair out like he had in the movie. And it was just me like just hanging out, just wearing that outfit. And everybody's nice. Like, and sprayed fake blood on the shirt too. Like, so that was it. Dope.
So, for the wolf down there, man, for Wolfman Jack.
Oh, I got one.
What do you got?
Clancy Brown. The fucking Kurgan from Highlander, dude.
There can only be one.
The fucking drill instructor from Starship Troopers.
Yes.
Fuck, man. Like, come on. That's fucking good. You're
talking about Michael Ironside, man. Is that who
you're No. Michael Ironside was like their fucking leader, the guy, their drill instructor at training. That was Clancy Brown, the one who threw the fucking knife through his hand. And he was like, medic. Like, yeah, that dude.
See, I'm happy you did that. So I can go here with DDJ's Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one too.
It's greatness. That would be a hell of a movie, guys. We'd make a pretty stupid show. I think it'd be great.
We already make a stupid show.
This is true. Shout out to the 30 of y'all that listen. We love every one of you. Buy a shirt.
Buy two shirts.
Buy all the fucking shirts, man.
Holidays are coming up. Get one for you. Get one for your special somebody, whether it's a man, woman, child, dog. You know, buy one for somebody that you care about. Buy it for the dude at Culver's that we keep trying to give a free shirt to, but we can't find anymore. Hopefully he didn't get whacked by the mob either. But, guys, it is time for the shootout. Our last thoughts, our final thought of the day. Who wants to start?
It's called the shootout? I thought it was something else.
I don't know. What did we say earlier?
Offshoot?
The offshoot. There we go. Shit, I'm all over the place. The offshoot.
Now we can just vote on which one sounds better.
Well, the shootout or the offshoot. What do you guys think? It's the same thing, just different wording.
I'd say the offshoot.
The offshoot. Well, we wrap up our final thoughts of the night. Who wants to start?
Actually, I got a good one that I started, and I've been actually thinking about this since the weekend. So we all
you
like
know, from now on, man, like... you should just tell him to go first. Just tell him to go instead of, because he always.
All right, Dennis, go.
Not that I care. So, I don't care. Go.
So, we all like a good redemption story in, you know, out there, you know, especially in the world of professional wrestling. And this past weekend on Collision, we saw the culmination of one of the, you know, better redemption stories in the world of pro wrestling in a long time. And that's with Big Bill becoming one half of the AEW tag team champions. His first title in a major promotion. And just considering that all that he's been through, you know, from the time he got released for going off script in WWE, and then the problems with the alcohol abuse, and then I believe at a wrestling show when he had a seizure or something and collapsed, mm-hmm. and just all the mental issues and struggles he's been through and stuff. And for him to see him battle back, get himself into arguably the best shape he's ever been in, you know, showing up on Impact and wreaking havoc there, going to the AEW, and, you know, going through the stuff, you know, with like Stokely Hathaway and his group, The Firm, and then kind of going out there, just really kind of finding a niche with Ricky Starks and what they did this past weekend, you know, dethroning FTR for the AEW tag team titles. I was genuinely happy to see him carrying, winning a championship and holding gold, because it's something that's been long overdue for him. And considering all that he's been through, you know, I just think it's a great redemption story. So just, you know, it just goes to show you that all you have to do is just, if you're in trouble, you know, seek out those that can help you out, get the help you need, get yourself right back on track, and you too can come back from anything. And I think Big Bill is a great example of that. So just kudos to Big Bill.
That's good, DG. I like that.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Who's next?
I'll go. Yesterday was the 87th birthday of the late, great Dusty Rhodes. You talk about give me a minute, man.
It's all right, brother. Whoever's watching Liberty Mutual, turn that shit down.
It's not me.
Anyway, pro wrestling, as it sits right now, it has been touched by this man, not just because of the promos that he cut or his ability to book a house or excite a crowd or his feuds with Ric Flair and the Horsemen, you know, his, you know, memorable run in WWE with the polka dots and the debate that even just that starts, because, you know, it wasn't what we wanted Dusty to be, but yet he still seemed to make it work. Not only that, being the first booker promoter to put a heavyweight title on a black athlete, you know, acknowledging talent when he's seen it. The guys that we have that are in the Hall of Fame right now that have went in the last 10 to 15 years. I'm talking like Diamond Dallas Page and some of these guys that was nurtured and learned under the tree of Dusty Rhodes, guys like Paul Heyman, who hands down is probably going to go down as the greatest wrestling manager in history.
Mm-hmm.
Not even counting what he accomplished with ECW when he took both companies to the woodshed and put a whooping on them with a little shitty one-hour show out of Philadelphia that hardly anybody in the country seen live. But yet he made everybody look that direction, and that's Dusty Rhodes. to all the kids that were in NXT. Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Cody, his son Dustin, all the talent that he influenced and helped create and nurture and pushed and worked for on their behalf. The man's handprint and his DNA is all over the professional wrestling world. Every time I hear hard times, it just takes me back to that day. It was my 15th birthday. I've told this story before. I was sitting in the living room watching TBS on Saturday night. My family was in the dining room having drinks, laughing, enjoying themselves. It was a good night. And he cut that promo, and all I could think about was, that's everybody that's in the other room, that he's talking about my dad. He's talking about my uncles. He's talking about my family. I miss that dude. Like, I miss that dude. Just, he had so much more to give. And the thought that it was just, if he'd have just went to the doctor a month sooner, if he'd have just went to the doctor and got checked out, he might still be here. To see what Cody's doing and to see what Dustin's doing, not only on AEW still at this point in his career, probably doing the best ring work he's ever done, in the best shape that he's ever been in, and the school that he's running down there in Texas. I just miss Dusty, man. I do. I miss him. Such a huge part of my childhood and somebody that I legitimately looked up to. Talk about not what, you know, nobody would ever have looked at that guy walking down the street. If you didn't know pro wrestling, you wouldn't know that guy was an athlete. He played pro ball. You know, he played baseball. He was a basketball. There was nothing that guy couldn't do. It just came in a overweight package, and he just didn't give a shit. Just didn't. And some of the best work he did, most people never saw unless you lived in the state of Florida. Because he had that independent territory so high and making so much money that Jim Crockett came and gave him the keys to the fucking house and said, come over here and do for us what you're doing in Florida. There's records in Madison Square Garden. There's still, they hold him and Billy Graham are still on that list for biggest crowds. And this was before music and pyro and big screens and fancy shit. It was just a dingy, dark, smoke-filled arena with one light that shined down on the ring. And Dusty Rhodes and Billy Graham sold that shit out 3 times. Not many people could say that, man, especially not during that era. Hands down, in my opinion, one of the, if not the greatest of all time. He didn't need a title. And he was a 3-time NWA champ, which in the era of Ric Flair and Harley Race, dog, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Because Flair and Ric held on to that title like it was their old lady. They didn't let that shit out of their sight. And for Dusty to be able to go in and take that title 3 times and build a promotion on his back, with guys like the Road Warriors and Lex Luger and Barry Windham and God damn it, I can't think of his name.
Sting?
Sting was another one. I was thinking about the guy from the car wreck.
Magnum TA?
Magnum TA and what he would have been if he hadn't been injured. You know, just how great Dusty was and the things that he did, man. You know, just happy birthday to the dream. I miss you. The wrestling world misses you. We sadly, desperately need you right now. I wish you were still around for what's going on right now.
Dusty was the perfect example of why you should never judge a book by its cover.
Beautiful. Jody, do you want to go next or do you want to close us out?
I'll go next.
Okay, go ahead.
Motherfucking Phillies in 5, baby. Yeah. Let's fucking go. Getting Arizona, coming in Monday night. Phillies taking 2 at home, splitting them in Arizona, winning it in 5 back in Philly. the bank's going to go nuts. We're going back to the World Series to fucking play some motherfuckers from Texas, whoever it may be. Fuck them both. I don't care, bitches. Got the fucking Birds and the Jets on Sunday. I mean, it's gonna look like a fucking sad prison beating. Zach Wilson on Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just my estimation. I think that Eagles defensive front's gonna have a fucking day. And I couldn't be happier. I'm just so thrilled. It's good. It's real fucking good. Philly sports right now. So happy. I've been watching the fucking celebration the entire time. You know, I love baseball because these motherfuckers celebrate so hard after every fucking series win.
Yeah, they do.
And it's just the wildest shit. But still, it doesn't.
What's the longest season, man?
Yeah, it's 162 the longest games, season, isn't
it? It is a long season. Yeah. So this series, they do count. But you know, as much as I say fuck Dallas, fuck the Braves, man. I'm watching this while you guys are talking, and somebody, I couldn't tell who it was, but somebody celebrating the clubhouse. And he's wearing a t-shirt on the back of it that says he wasn't supposed to hear that. Which was what Arcia translated to. He could have fucking denied it. He could have denied it and called bullshit on the reporters who were taking shit that they heard in the clubhouse. No, he could have denied. He didn't. All he said was he wasn't supposed to hear that. Well, guess what, motherfucker? He did. He stared your ass down twice. Twice in the same game. Fucking shout out Castellanos. Two home runs last night. Two home runs tonight.
They're x-raying his bat tomorrow, bro.
He's getting tested.
They're going to call him in for a wellness check.
Fuck. He's fine. He's fine. All I know is this. The fucking 104 win Braves. How many games did the Dodgers win?
I think 100.
Were they at 100 or a little bit?
I think they were at 100 exactly.
It does not fucking matter how many games you win and win the division. This fucking Philly team was built for October. They struggled during the year, various points, up and down. But, man, you get them to the postseason, and it is a whole different fucking atmosphere. And nobody wants to come play at the bank. Who is the manager that said it's 4 hours in hell you got to play in Philly? Nobody wants to come here.
I don't remember.
Because these fucking animals are selling out 45,000-46,000 seats for fucking playoff games. And other fucking teams are struggling to sell tickets and put people in that stadium. This is why Philly fans are so loud in Atlanta in this series. Like, dude, there's nothing like Philly baseball in October right now. It's wild. It's fucking wild. Drop down one. Dude, I sat here tonight. Oh, 1-0 Atlanta. No biggie. No big deal. They got it. They'll be fine. Fucking Castellanos rips a solo shot, tie game. Like, oh, there you go. Just keep it moving. No big fucking deal, man. They're not a fucking afraid to play from behind. Take big risks coming out of the bullpen. Dude, I think we got a World Series coming this year. What do you say, buddy?
I like that. Nice setup.
Well, since I'm being goaded, I would like to say that while teams were playing today, yesterday, my team has been at home resting because they took care of their opponents 2 back-to-back sweeps. And I'm just going to say the Texas Rangers right now, that offense has woken up. the offense that scared us at the end of the season, because when we only needed one game, we had to wait to the very last game of the season to determine where we were going to be at. And yeah, you know, we lost the division to the Astros. We ended up having to go the wild card route, but we did it. You know, we went through, persevered. I didn't think we were going to get past the Orioles. I really didn't. Baltimore has just a really good team, man. The Orioles were a great team.
They're young, too.
They're very young, and they didn't show up. And now we're going against Houston, who, number one, history of cheating. I'm going to say that. Cheaters. Fucking trash can cheaters. Beaters.
That's true.
That's the real bang bang gang.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Guns up.
So we're going against Houston. It's, of course, interstate rival, interdivision rival. Team that we play a lot, so we know they know us, we know them. But here's the difference. The last time we played Houston going into the last month of the season, our offense was off. For some reason, our offense took damn near the whole last month off. Right now, they're kicking it at high gear. Bochy has the boys believing. For some unknown reason, Creed has become the battle song of Texas. Can you take us higher? That's what we're going with. And I'm riding the wave, man. We are one of the rare teams still that have never won it all. We got real close with Hamilton a few times.
2 years in a row, you were one strike away.
We do not talk about those. Too much hard memories. But we won our first one, man. We really do. I think Texas is really clamoring for it. They're really clawing for it. They're going to fight for it. Houston's going to be a battle. I don't think we're going to sweep Houston. Honestly, I don't see it going less than six games. But who knows, right? It's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle in Texas. Whoever Philly gets, because I don't think Philly's going to have trouble, is going to limp into the World Series. So might be good news for Philly. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, that's my little Ranger update on the back of that Phillies update. We're not talking Cowboys because we got demolished. It was worse.
The key word in all that was limp.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. But I will do something for you guys just because I am the degenerate gambler. This is what I do. Your picks for the week. You're going to take the Commanders over the Falcons. You're going to take Jags over Colts. You're going to take the Vikings over the Bears. And for a easy flex option, take the Lions over the Buccaneers. Good.
Solid picks.
Solid picks. It should be a good week. If you're taking money line and taking the actual spreads, it should be great. Only one that's a little iffy is that Bears team. Coming off of their first win, who knows if those boys are going to be riding high. But it'll be a solid game to watch. My final thoughts, so we can wrap it up. We've been talking, and it's coming soon, the big auction for charity to help Project Fat, which helps, of course, veterans. Was it Project Headspace and Time?
Timing.
Guys, it's
timing.
There you go. Headspace and Timing. It's a good thing that we want to give back to, right? We want to give back to, of course, people who have given what they've given for our freedoms that we may or may not fully understand, right? Not everybody understands what price that everyone pays for us to be able to do what we do every day. And me personally, being somebody who has had family members serve in this for this country, I've had members of the family die for this country. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that freedom isn't exactly free. So anything we could do to give back to these guys, definitely all down for it. I showed an Eddie Kingston piece that'll be going for sale. I showed the Will Ospreay. I'm gonna also throw in there and Hangman Adam Page. He'll probably be a low start, like a $10 start. There it is, certified by what is that? Pro Wrestling Tees, yeah. Certified. So you know, little Hangman Page action there for $10 start, dude. You're not gonna get a Hangman Page for like $10 anywhere else. So come over here. give it a good roll. Did you say $5? That's disrespectful. He's the main guy, dude.
We can't get a footlong for $5 anymore at Subway. So.
I know. It's going to cost me more.
Wah, wah, wah.
He wants me to take an additional loss because it's going to take more than $5 to ship these bitches. So yeah.
No, I would rather have the Subway than Hangman Page autograph.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, yes. We'll start.
Wheat dog.
that is not cowboy shit, gentlemen. But it is. We are going to
need some bacon on it, though, folks.
Well, we're going to get all that going, so keep your eyes open. The next few shows until we actually do this, I'll probably bring on some additional shit to show everyone that will be set out there. Just so you know what's coming, I'll put some stuff on the page too once we actually get a time and date of when we're going to do this. I probably want to say by this month sometime, so maybe in the next 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, we'll see what we can work out. But it's all I really got for you guys. Just thank you for listening. If you guys have any opinions on the show, if you guys have any topics you want us to bring up, you know where the Facebook page is, you know where to hit it. And if you haven't already, go buy a shirt, right? There it is. All right, gentlemen, we're wrapping up. Any last thoughts before we hit this button to go home? Nobody? Last statements? No, we always end on the high. Well, fart noise. Are we going out on a fart noise, really?
The fuck y'all doing?
No, it's not. My hands are on my phone.
I can't hear you.
I can't even hear Dennis. What did you do?
It was not me. I swear to God, I did not touch
you. Well, you two motherfuckers, the only ones with the button.
Dude, my hands were on my phone. Cut all this shit out. Hold on.
Dude, he did it again. There's a reason I have the videos labeled opening and closing.
Yeah, dude, my bad. I didn't see that shit. Oh well. You live and you learn.
Sorry, bro. Legends of the Ring Sting, man. It's a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the shooting shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention wrestling fans and fans of Shootin' Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@shootingsht. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/shootingsht. Check us out on TikTok at shootinsht. And you can buy your official Shoot and Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.